anymore. And we're extraordinarily thankful to our Prime Minister and the statement that he made recently, deeming local churches like ours workplaces that allow us, and for Jill and Peter and Tim, for us to be here on our premises, so to enable us to live stream so that we can be beamed into your homes this morning. So please give thanks to God for that, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a look at the last couple of verses from Luke 24. Father, please this morning, please help us to know the joy of Easter. Fill us with hope by the Holy Spirit in the midst of this crisis. In Jesus' name, amen. So has this virus defeated Easter? That's a question a journalist posed to the Anglican Archbishop of Sydney, Glenn Davies, to which he replied, "Absolutely not. Has Easter been cancelled by COVID-19? Has the coronavirus won the day over Easter?" I guess it depends. What do you mean by Easter? It doesn't mean camping on the beach. It doesn't mean sort of long walks in national parks, enjoying the warm nights, the warm days and the cool nights. It doesn't mean going on Easter egg hunts with your cousins. Has Easter been defeated? Well, let's head to the end of Luke 24 to find out. For those of you who've been joining us in our daily devotionals from Luke 22 all the way to the end of 24, you'll find today is our final daily devotional. Dave just read a couple of the verses earlier, but today we're actually just going to focus in on the last four verses. So from Luke 24, verse 50 to 53. Only four verses, a short section, but there's a much longer story that comes behind it, which we're going to examine over a short period in our time together this morning. Well, these final four verses to Luke's Gospel return us to the location of where the story of Luke began. Luke has this account of Jesus' life, but if you rewind and head right back to the start, you find the story started in the temple. It starts with some characters by the name of Anna and Simeon, who were filled with joy at seeing the Christmas story. What do I mean? Well, when the baby Jesus was born in that first Christmas, there were faithful believers like a guy called Simeon and a lady called Anna who'd been desperately waiting to see how was God going to intervene into our broken world. So have a listen to Anna. This is from Luke chapter 2. She was very old. She'd lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then was a widow until she was 84 years old. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them, that being Joseph and Mary and Jesus, she gave thanks to God and she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna didn't actually know the answer, but she believed that God would come good on his promises. He'd promised that he would somehow reverse the brokenness of our world and bring redemption. Somehow. What they didn't understand way back here at the start of Luke was how would our fractured and broken world, how would it be restored through this baby born at Christmas? What would happen as we move toward this first Easter? I mean, if you were part of the audience that tuned in at the start of Luke, what would you expect when we came here to the end of the story? Another way to put it, say if you were a Jew and you'd been reading the Old Testament, what would you be expecting from God to intervene in our world? What you might be surprised to hear is they certainly weren't expecting a king of theirs, a Jewish king, to die on a Friday and for it to be described in any way of that being good. You see, have a listen to how the Old Testament from the Bible thought of death. This is from Psalm chapter 6, verse 5. Among the dead, no one praises your name. Who praises you from the grave? Well, this is Psalm 30, verse 6. What is gained if I'm silenced? If I go down to that pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? All these devastating words that Matt read earlier from Isaiah 14. The realm below is, the realm of the dead below is astir to meet you at your coming. It rouses the spirits of the departed to greet you, all who are leaders in the world. It makes them rise from their thrones. All who are kings over the nations, they will all respond. They will say to you, you also have become weak, as are we. You have become like us. That was a depressing reality to death. You might have been thinking that, you know, the Jewish people would have a more positive view to death. Rory Shiner is a pastor from Perth, and he remembers being in a public dialogue meeting with a Jewish rabbi. The Jewish rabbi was gently chastising Rory, a Gentile Christian, with the Christian sentimental attitude toward death. He was saying, you know, you go on about heaven this, heaven that. The Jewish leader stopped and looked at him and said, Judaism is about life. We hate death. And as you read the Psalms in the Old Testament, you kind of have to agree with him. Many of the psalmists plead with God, spare their life. They understood being dead was a really, really bad idea. So you've got to expect that when Luke began his news about this good news about a king being born, no Jew who is reading along is expecting him to die, particularly at the hands of his enemies. Remember, from the psalmist's perspective, that was the worst thing that could ever happen. Some of the parents who were tuned in this morning might be thinking, they know that feeling. Can life get any worse than it is now? And yet we know it could, don't we? Because as the coronavirus wreaks havoc around our world, we know teaching kids from home and maintaining what feels like the same expectations from a workplace seems deadly. But it is not the heartache of death. It is not the devastation of the Psalms. It is not the life that Judaism desired. So how are we to know joy in death? Well, let's turn to these final sentences of Luke. Well, if Luke's gospel began in the temple with Anna filled with joy because Jesus, the child born at Christmas, would bring redemption, well, then Luke ends with disciples back at the temple filled with joy because of the hope that Jesus brought in the first Easter. Have a look with me at Luke chapter 24, verse 52 and 53. Then they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Here Luke begins where it all started. Back at the temple, faithful disciples filled with joy. But as we've seen this morning, no Jew, not even a faithful Jew like Anna, could have expected how the story of Jesus' life would come to its thrilling conclusion. No reader of the Old Testament would have written this into the plot line. A Jewish king, or what the Jews called their king, the Messiah, they would never win through death. I mean, remember the story of David and Goliath. You know, against all the odds, the little guy, you know, the underdog, wins the victory by slaying the giant. The enemy is crushed and died, and the hero miraculously comes out on top. The Jewish plotline is the same as an action movie from Hollywood. Bad guy, you know, blown up, he dies. And what happens to the hero? Well, there's the wreckage, and the hero walks out through the smoke alive. It's not how the Easter story goes at all. Jesus is the hero who dies. He is an innocent one. He dies on a Roman cross, on the enemy's cross. as we saw in Luke 23 on Friday. Jesus is the Jewish king. Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, but they don't die. Remember our Jewish rabbi, Jews hate death, and yet Jesus dies at the hands of his enemies. That is the worst place a psalmist could ever be. But Luke 24, verse 50 to 53 records the great twist. He isn't dead. He isn't in a grave. He isn't in a crematorium. He isn't in a memorial. You cannot take flowers to Jesus' grave because he does not have one. On Easter morning, Jesus was raised from the dead. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 50 to 53, Jesus was raised to heaven to rule. A teenager was at a youth camp and they were asked, "Where is Jesus?" The youth thought about it for a moment and said, "Well, he died and he rose again, and that's the end of the story." But one of the leaders went on and said, "Yeah, he died. He rose again, and he now rules from heaven." You see, the disciples at the end of Luke's gospel came to know joy in death because Jesus didn't stay dead. He never tasted death. And the disciples could know joy now in life because Jesus is alive and he is ruling from heaven. So has the virus defeated Easter? Absolutely not. It might have defeated your Easter camping plans, just like a friend of mine that I saw down in Spa yesterday. They were in front of me in the checkout line. They were on their line 1.5 metres away. I was on my line 1.5 metres away. So they were talking about how their Easter plans had fallen over. Has it defeated your plans for lunch with family or friends? Yes. Has it defeated your Blues Fest plans for tomorrow? Me? Yes. Has the coronavirus defeated Easter? No. Because at Easter, Jesus defeated death. So let me pose this question to you. Which businesses have not been affected by COVID-19 on the Easter long weekend? Well, it's the church. Business is booming in churches across Australia and across the world this Easter weekend. Does that mean that churches are making millions like some businesses have achieved through this crisis? No. Like so many places, so many workplaces, our dollars are down in churches across the country and around the world. How is it that business is booming? Well, churches are not in business for profit. They are no profit, non-profit organisations. They're actually in the business of saving lives. Sadly, through the week, there were more fatalities on the cruise ship, the Ruby Princess. There was nothing the medical staff who were coming sort of out of Sydney or Wollongong could do to save their lives. There was no respirator that could revive them. There was only one thing that could save those passengers, and it was Easter. Because the only lifesaver during COVID-19 is the Jewish Messiah, the Jewish King. It is Jesus. Because he was the king who fought sin and death and came through the wreckage alive. He never died. For Luke records, he still rules and he still rules now from heaven, and he disperses and dispenses joy as people become followers around the world this Easter weekend. Deb, she slunk into a church 100 miles from Cape Town on Good Friday a couple of years ago. She'd heard colleagues in a workplace talking about Easter leading into the Easter weekend, and there was something within her that was intrigued about the whole thing. She thought to herself, this is the last place that I want to go after battling a heroin addiction for a number of years and had struggled to hold down a regular job. But on that Easter weekend, she walked through the doors of that building and she sat right at the end of the row. She sat at the end of the row, as close to the door, so that if anyone tried to walk over and talk to her, she could easily get away. As the time together started, she had no idea what to expect. There was some singing, and they said on Good Friday they remembered Jesus' death. Deb remembers being riveted by the story of Jesus' trial and then his crucifixion. At some point across the morning, she realized that Jesus was forsaken, that Jesus was abandoned by God the Father instead of me, that Jesus was punished in my place. I had lived my whole life in a sense of homelessness and a fear of abandonment. And she said that since she was coming off heroin, it felt like she was living a living hell. And so she continues, at some point, I realized Jesus headed to hell for me and plucked me out. He was forsaken so that I would not be. He was abandoned so I would not. She says, she still shakes her head in disbelief. I was just so overjoyed, still sobbing, knowing an incredible joy, a peace. She understood. She felt no guilt. She knew that Jesus had dealt with her sin for her. So she says, I walked out of that building on that Easter weekend. I walked out through those doors and I realized that I was a daughter of God's. COVID-19 cannot cancel the joy of Easter. If you haven't experienced the joy that is available because you now know what it means for Jesus to have come on Good Friday, what he achieved, to know his resurrection on Easter Sunday, and to know that he still rules now by the power of his Spirit, then please come to know joy this Easter. Understand that Jesus was abandoned, he was forsaken, he died our death for our sin, so that we might know hope and joy, even in the midst of death. The virus cannot defeat Easter. So let's celebrate together as daughters and as sons of our risen and our resurrected King, Jesus. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Our Father, we want to thank you that you're the joy of Easter, that your Son, the King, Jesus, would not stay dead. In fact, he would never die, but rules from heaven with you. We're sorry for the fact that we can forget how stunning the joy of Easter is, particularly in the midst of this crisis. Please help us to know this virus has not defeated Easter, but to remind us that Jesus was abandoned, forsaken, went to hell to make those who trust in him daughters and sons. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.